look for green shoots in the midst of ashes. That was last year. And so this is more like a praise report. If I can't really zoom in that banner, but if you look at the banner, it has got my name on it. I was actually one of the speakers in India, Nagaland. Obviously, I didn't fly in there, but thank God for technology. I basically recorded all my teachings and sent it across. All right? And the other man who is very well dressed up with a red tie, his name is Rako. He's the pastor, also the dean of the Bible school there. Now, the guy standing beside him, when he finished the course, he told Rako, he says, "Hey, I like the recording of this guy called, I think they call me Sir Jeffrey. I don't know why they was knighted, but anyways, I like that." So he says, "Can I have the recording of Sir Jeffrey's teaching?" And long story short, the praise report is this. He took the teachings and he actually brought it across to different villages, and it was played 100 times. Because of technology. No, I'm saying wow not because of me, but I'm saying wow because of technology. The Word of God was able to reach even further. And last year, at the same time, you know, I decided, hey, let's start a SIM card ministry. Because I knew that in that region, there were quite a number of Christians being persecuted. And I was conducting Zoom training with them. Then I said to Raku, I said, "Hey, look, I will sponsor five SIM cards. You know, if you can use these SIM cards with data in there, use it so that the recordings that we have can be then sent to more people on WhatsApp, play it in small group so that no one can try to persecute you because they can never recognize who the person is. It's just all in recording." And you believe it or not, I just got a report just last month. He says that SIM card ministry that you started has reached more than 5,000 people. So I don't know how many got converted, but I just say, "God, I don't know how many got converted. I don't really care. That's your job. My job is really just to share the gospel." You know, even though we are not physically there, but I just want to give God praise. It says, because in April last year, it says, God said, "Look for green shoots in the midst of ashes." So that's just a praise report I'm going to give God for. Amen. So, how are we doing spiritually? So, you know, we go into the checkout, you know, at Woolworths or Aldi or Costco, and then people will greet you, "How are you?" And we normally say, "Good." You know, and that's like a standard answer that we always give. But if I were to stand here, if someone were to ask you this question, "How are you doing spiritually?" And that's a question that we need to sometimes, or not sometimes, but as often as we can, ask this question. How are you doing spiritually? How am I doing spiritually? Do a self-examination. So have you done your check-in, your spirit check-in code? And this is legit, all right? I need you to get to your phone, all right? Scan the QR code there, please. You need to scan, and if your phone has got data. If your phone has got no data, no point scanning, all right? Now, you should get to a page on Slido. Now, there was a bit of... it was meant to just flow like this as I presented, but now because there was a hiccup, it's my fault. So we're going to try this the other way, the back-end way, and that is you go into Slido on the QR, and I will try to manage from here. Is everyone in? Now, if you haven't got data in your phone, then you won't be able to get into this thing, all right? Now, I already see some votes coming in. So if you have the question there, just vote in and put in your answers. All the answers that you put in is anonymous. So I don't know who answered that. But yeah, I got 16 now. Keep going, all right? Whatever questions there, like I said, unfortunately, I cannot go and make it as smooth as I would like to, but I'll just keep preaching. I think there should be 3, if not 4. If you've only got 1, can you go to the next one? Maybe I'm the one who needs to control it from here. I don't know. All right, maybe, yeah. Can you see the next one? Oh, that's me. So I have to control it. Sorry, guys. All right, you just keep going. Is it still there? Yep. So I'm going to go on to the next question. Okay. I'll read the question. The next question we are on now is, in what is one area of our life that you want to see a breakthrough? So this is a I will flash the result maybe towards the end of the day. If not, I'll flash the result next week, all right? And then my next question will be, describe your current spiritual or emotional state. All right, that will be the next one. And the last question, rate your spiritual and emotional health as of today, your current state. All right, while you guys are having fun, I'll just keep preaching. All right? Now, we all go on a journey. Our spiritual life has always got its highs and its lows, all right? Sometimes we feel like we are in cloud nine, or we feel that we have conquered the world. And next moment, we can feel as if we have just hit the rock bottom. And that's part of the life's journey. You know, I hope we can say that my spiritual life is always on the high, but it's not true. Because there'll be moments where I hit the highs, and there'll be moments where I'll hit the rock bottom. And one person that I can think of today is King David. How King David falters. You know, he is a man after God's heart. He's a man that, you know, out of the dysfunctional family that he came from, right, the sons of Jesse, he was chosen to lead Israel. But yet, there was two big sin events that occurred and it was recorded in the Bible. One of it was when David and Bathsheba, and the other one when he started taking his census. This is what happened, right? David was a man who is called a man after God's heart. But that two sins that he committed, one, when he committed lust, adultery, whatever you want to call it, when kings were supposed to be fighting, he was there watching from his balcony. He was lusting after another woman. And in that scene here, it says, Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die." The difference between Saul, King Saul and David is that whenever David sins, or whenever he is told that he has sinned, he confesses. He doesn't make excuses. You see, when we all make mistakes along the way. We all hit, like I said, some moments we are in a high, some moments we are in a low. But the difference that we can learn from David is that he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't want to give excuses to justify why he did what he did, unlike Saul. Another incident where he made this huge mistake that caused 70,000 people to die. And that was taking census. This came off just after a victory lap. He had a victory lap. He just overcame, or he conquered, not conquered, but he had a battle against the Philistines, and then he won the battle. And this came off just after the victory lap. And he told Joab, he said, "Hey, look, can you just do a count for me, like see how many able men are there?" We don't really know the full story why God considered it as a sin. But we do know one thing, he sinned. Because Joab told him, "Don't do it." He knew that something is wrong. We don't have the full story, but we do know one thing. In Exodus chapter 30, it says this: if you want to take census, you have to collect taxes from all those who participated in the census. Now, in this story, they didn't mention that David collected taxes from those guys. And in Exodus 30, it says, if you don't, a plague will come. So the backstory is this. Whatever happens, we don't really know the full story, but we do know one thing. He sinned against God. And because of that, he had Gabe, I think his name, the prophet, came by and says to him, "Hey, look, we got three options, A, B, and C. Which one do you want? That's your consequence. Number one is either you have 30 years, or is it 3 years? 3 years of famine. The other one was, like 3 months of your enemies chasing after you, or 3 days of plague." He chose the third one, 3 days of plague. And that cost him 70,000 people got wiped out. You can read the story. What I want to say to us is this. Lives in our Christian journey, we're going to have ups and downs. The difference is when we don't make excuses, turn to God, ask God for forgiveness, because at the end, God still says this. He is a man after God's heart in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. So this is where I want to pick up from. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" Well, unless, of course, you fail the test. "And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test." We need to always constantly pause and examine ourselves, and to test ourselves. Don't examine someone else. Don't try to test someone else. Examine yourselves and test yourselves. I think that's something that we don't do enough as a Christian, to really examine ourselves and to test ourselves, because the story goes on and says, remember when you want to look at the speck in your brother's eye, you know, but then you actually got a log in your own eye. It gives us a glimpse of our human nature, is that we don't really test ourselves and examine ourselves enough. We like to say, "That guy seriously needs help," you know, or "He or she definitely needs to go to the room and repent and confess his sin or her sin. Not me, because I'm doing well. I'm doing okay." Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, and test yourselves. So today, by the end of this, by the time I finish this sermon, I want to share with you five quick questions to ask yourself. That's like your quick fit test, you know? If you examine, honestly ask those five questions, I believe that will help us to examine and test ourselves. And I also want to share with you three things that could help you align and discipline your spiritual life so that you will be in alignment with the Spirit. So let's move on. The fitness chart. You know, like when you go into the doctor, when you see a doctor, and if you've got a BP of, say, you know, let's give you a ridiculous number, 170 over 90, you will say, yeah, this guy seriously has got high blood pressure. But how do you know he or she has got a high blood pressure unless we know that we can compare him or her to someone of a similar age band and says what a normal BP is and where you are, right? So we always have to have a reference point. In our spiritual walk, we also need to have a reference point. And where is this reference point? It's found in Amos. Amos chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, 'What do you see, Amos?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, I'm about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will spare them no longer.'" There is a spiritual plumb line in our lives. All of us need to recognize that the spiritual plumb line that Jesus has put in our lives, that is the reference point that we need to take. Whether our wall or our walk is straight or not. Or how much have we deviated from that plumb line. So here is where the plumb line is. And this, I mean, you can defer and say, hey, maybe this is not the right verse. It's fine, but I'm taking from this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 8. The first question you need to ask yourself is this: how selfless am I? Because it says this, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. That means you bear the same way, the way Christ lived. This is what the kind of life that you should, or the mindset you need to adopt. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's the first test question. How selfless am I? Tick. If he says, I am a selfless person. I care for everyone. I love everyone. You pass the test. Well done. Question number two. How much am I willing to sacrifice? It says, in the next verse, it says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Oh, it's too hard, man. Too hard. Are you willing to like go the extra mile for someone who is perhaps struggling, and then you say, you know what, I'll put everything aside and I'll come alongside him or her? No, it's too inconvenient. Question number three. How much am I willing to serve? And it goes on. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. How much am I willing to serve? Because God says, I came here to serve, not to be served. Question number four. How much am I willing to submit? Because he goes on, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. How much am I willing to submit to God's authority? How much am I willing to humble myself? Question number five. How much am I willing to suffer It says, by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, you won't be able to be willing to suffer if you haven't been able to be willing to submit yourself to God's authority. And it goes on, backwards. If you do the reverse, it's all linked. So these are the five quick fit questions to see whether you are on track, how spiritually healthy you are. And if you say, tick, 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 or five, hey, you're a healthy spiritual guy. But out of five, if you honestly say, you know what, probably only got one. Examine and test ourselves. Don't look at someone else and say, this guy is not anywhere close. He's going to fail the test. No, it's not. That's for him or her to do the examination. You just need to test and examine yourself. So I'm going to share with you three things that I believe that we could align ourselves. And this is from Jesus' teachings. He mentioned a lot about the first. So I believe that we put all together, these are the first few things that were the first of the first that we need to put in our lives. It makes sense, if that makes sense. It says this. We're going to start off with a healthy heart. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, can't read that word. If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. When was the last time you put in that, you know, your tithe and offerings? When was the last time you offered a praise? Just then. When was the last time you offered a prayer, or when you put your tithe in? God is saying to us, hey, look, every time when you put something in or when you offer something to God, pause, test, and examine yourself. Because if you've got unforgiveness, if you know of someone who's offended, get the relationship right again. Reconcile. Because, you see, I'm not a medical student or anywhere close to a medical person, but I do know one thing. If your arteries or whatever you call that is blocked in your heart, it doesn't pump well. You know, I'm Asian and I love to eat all the fatty stuff, but I've always been told, especially by my daughters these days, it says that you need to cut back on all those fatty stuff. But it says, I only live life once. So I'm only eating once in a while. It's okay. I exercise. But you know how that works. It doesn't work that way. You put garbage in, garbage out. So you got to go somewhere. And if it gets stuck, it blocks, it chokes. And that's how you get a heart problem, heart issues. Same thing. Healthy spiritual life starts with a healthy heart. And unforgiveness is one of those blockages that can choke your blood from getting into your heart. And that's why God says, before you do anything, first of all, pause and reconcile. So, it goes on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. So remove the blockage. So number one, the first thing you need to do, remove the blockages in your heart. And one way is to constantly remember whenever you offer a prayer, you offer your offerings, or you offer a praise. Pause for a while and check. If God brings something to your mind, says that you need to make right with this person or that person, do it. Next one, spiritual sight. We need to check our eyes. It says this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, worrying starts with our eyes. This is, Jeff, what are you talking about? Because that's the backstory of it. The backstory of this is this. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, is there for a reason? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, we only start worrying because what we depends on what we see. You see, if you look at things and the things that are not meant to be looked at, that's where we start to panic. You remember Jesus told Peter to, hey, if you want to walk on water, just come. Initially, he was fixed on Jesus. He stepped out of the boat and he did float, or he did manage to walk one or two steps. Then when he looked at the surrounding, fear crept in. Faith disappears and he sinks. You see, worrying starts with what you see. So if you start to move your focus, and I deliberately choose the word move your focus away from this to somewhere and look at Christ and not adjust your focus, because if you adjust your focus, if you look at the wrong thing and you adjust it, it becomes clearer, it augments the problem and makes you even more worried. You need to literally get your eyes off and move and say, I'm going to fix on Jesus. You can either fix on the promises of God and the promiser. Don't just only fix on the promises of God, because the promiser is more important than just the promises of God. Because sometimes when Christians, we use this jargon, look at the promises, claim those promises. And you just look at the promise or the promises of God, but we forget to look at the promiser. Seek first the kingdom of God. Because when you seek, you are saying, I am earnestly pursuing the promiser and the promises of God. And I'm single-minded. That's what first is, being single-minded in our devotion to God. Come what may, whether the storm is on the left or from the right, it doesn't matter. Seek Him single-mindedly, and giving God the highest place in your life. And the last one I want to share is your love life. You see, your spiritual life, your spiritual health is also dependent on your love life. And God wants us to have a healthy love life. He says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Out of the 613 laws in the Torah, Jesus says, this is the first most important one. You get this right, everything else will fall in place. Because God is love. You see, you can't strive to love God, because God first loved us. And why we are loving God is because of the natural response to His love. We can't earn. It's been given to us. But when He gave us this commandment, it says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. Because God is requiring us to respond to His love. And so, then the second part goes on to talk about fellowship with one another, because he says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What does a healthy spiritual life look like? The heart, your sight, and your love life. So if I can get the musicians to come forward. I'm just going to close here. I'll give you the results. I know all of you want to know the results, but unfortunately, I can't flash it up here. It's technology. Welcome to the 21st century. But I will collate it and present it next week, if that's okay. But I want to just take this time now, if I hand the time back to Pastor Toh. But if you can, examine yourself. Test yourself. And if you are struggling, hey, we all do. Welcome to the real world. But if you're healthy and you're ready to go, then go help someone.